ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chapter 15, titled The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon. Text number 17, 18, 19 and 20. Pada Samvahanam Chakru Kechitasya Mahatmana Aparehata Papmano Vajane Samavijayan. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some of his coward boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. Purport. The word Samavijayan indicates that the coward boys fan the Lord very carefully and expertly, creating gentle and cooling breezes. We'll also recite or read 18, 19 and 20th verse. Anyatad anurupani manojnani mahatmana gayanti sma maharaja sneha klinna dhyashane. My dear king, other boys would sing enchanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. Evam nigudatma gati svamayaya gopatma jatvam chariter vidabhayan reme rama lalita pada pallavo gramye samam gramya vad isha chestita. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the goddess of fortune, concealed his transcendental opulences by his internal potency and acted like the son of a cowherd. Yet, even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. Shri Dhamma Nama Gopalo Ramakesha Vayosaka Subalat Stoka Krishnadhya Gopa Premne Dhamma Bruvan. Once some of the coward boys, Shri Dhamma, the very close friend of Rama and Krishna, along with Subala, Stoka Krishna and others, lovingly spoke the following words. So there is purport here. The word premna, with love, indicates that the request the coward boys are about to place before Lord Krishna and Lord Balarama is motivated by love, not personal desire. The coward boys were eager for Krishna and Balarama to exhibit their pastimes of killing demons and to enjoy the delicious fruits of the Thala forest. Therefore, they made the following request. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, killing of Dhenuka the ass demon, in these verses 17 to 20th, Sukadeva Goswami is giving description about what type of activities the coward boys had. One sense, they look like very ordinary activities. Boys playing around, joking, laughing. But same time, these are not ordinary activities. They're very transcendental activities. Because we have no experience about transcendental activities, so it is very natural that we see it as ordinary activities. But then when we hear from acharyas, we get an understanding that how it is not an ordinary activity. The Lord is very merciful. When He descends here, He can act the way He wants. Or sometimes, or many times, He
he acts like an ordinary human being. So Bhagavad Gita says that avajananti ma mudha. But fools who don't have any understanding, they think the Lord is also an ordinary person. But same thing in Bhagavad Gita, again this avajananti word comes. Bhaktya mam avajananti. So if you want to understand this subject, it is only through devotional service or in proper parampara. You are properly trained, then there is a vision to understand. Otherwise, it is very confusing. Like the Lord, he acts like an ordinary person. But sometimes, just to draw this point, he also does supernatural activities to say that I am not ordinary. But then many times he also does immoral things like stealing, lying, dancing with others' wives in the middle of the night in an isolated place. So many other things he does which apparently appears immoral for us. It's an immoral thing. But then the Lord is father of morality. So all dualities, they resolve in him. So there is nothing like duality, because he is the supreme absolute. Everything comes from him. So what is good and bad? Everything is good in him. Isn't it true? Even when he kills someone, he liberates that person. So it is all good. He is all good, all auspicious, all pure. So but still, for our intellect, our understanding, it is very difficult. Now we have understanding of this material world. We have sun, the moon, and the time, the trees, and the birds, and the flowers. But what we see is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. How is it different? It is beyond our understanding. The sun is there. The moon is there. That means the time is there. That means there is day and night. But the time there is different from the time what we see here. Nothing deteriorates there. Here you keep anything in the course of time, it becomes dry. Even this flower will become dry, will shrivel up. But there everything remains fresh forever. Forever, ever increasing. That's what we heard. A few days back when we heard the Bhagavatam class, how it is beyond understanding. One sense we say the Lord is infinite. Now how can the infinite increase? Infinite itself is infinite. We are finite, is infinite. But the finite also, whatever capacity he has, the Lord can instill that love. But he is infinite. He's an ocean of Ras Bihari. So the relationships there is just feeling of love. In Kali Yuga, we don't know what is love. What to speak about feeling of love. So when there is a feeling of love, it is natural to express that love. So the activities is only, you feel Krishna's love and you express love for Krishna. So all these activities, there is only pure love. The love is only making it act, and the love is going on increasing. Even simple activities, just massaging the feet, or you know, just resting, or talking, or joking, or dancing. So this is about what they appear like human beings. But even the rose, I mean the flower, the trees, the trees are bending down out of love to touch Krishna's feet when he's walking. The cows, the bees, the birds, they sing just love. Because they are feeling love of Krishna, they are expressing love of Krishna. So is this possible like this? There can be love like this? So this is not fiction. This is not fantasy. This is of imagination. There was one poet in the film industry, very old. He wrote like this, a poet. Very, very hit. The song became so hit. So in this poetry, he was describing that I will take you to this place where there is no misery, there is no sorrow, there is only love and love and love. Now he wrote it like this and everyone liked it and people were... But when someone went and asked him, where did you get this idea from? He said, honestly, there is not no place like that. This is just some words I have put it just to appeal. I mean, make. But that is how material consciousness can go to that level, because you can't go beyond that. So all the feelings what we see in the spiritual world, it is beyond. So what does it mean that? Can we understand? Do we have an access to also that? Yes, Prabhupada was very confident. Once when Prabhupada was sitting with his devotees, followers, there was a painting of Krishna and Balaram and the cows and the cowherd boys and the calves and the forest and the running. Prabhupada looked at the painting and he looked at them. Will you like to go there? So it is not fiction. It is not fantasy. It's a place. It is existing. It is real. But how to go there is only through proper training, proper guidance, in proper parampara. So the consciousness, when it develops, that time it is very natural that these feelings will arise. So this is how the sadhana means we pursue, we strive with this understanding that heart will become pure. So materialistic poets, they fantasize. For them it is a fiction. But spiritual poets, it is not a fantasy. It is real. So today happens to be the disappearance day of one such poet. He was not fantasizing. It was not fiction. He was directly visualizing, seeing, and he was writing it down. So in their association, we have an access to understand. Of course, faith is a sacred gift. Only it is through faith. So we will spend some time just hearing about who was Jayadev Goswami. Of course, Jayadev Goswami we don't discuss much. In our sampradaya, the Shad Goswamis are very famous. And we read his literature. But Jayadev Goswami said that his literature are very esoteric. It is only for very advanced people. One of the poetry what he wrote, Geet Govind, is for very advanced. Those who don't have any material contamination, those who are not bound by the material modes, those who are liberated, they can only understand. So in short, Jayadev Goswami was a Brahmin by birth. Right from his early days, he was a saint. But by some will of providence, he found deities under a river, Radha Madhav. So he was worshipping those deities with a lot of feelings, devotion. So this was a place where there was a king. His name was Lakshman Sen. So this king was very pious, also a devotee. So one day he heard his minister chanting some stotra. So he was so impressed by that. So he asked, where is this you heard from? Now what he was chanting was Dashavatara Stotram, which we also recite every day. Like when we say Namaste Narsingaya, then it ends with Tavakara. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadishar. Now this is written by Jayadev Goswami. So this minister whose name was Govardhan Acharya, he was chanting this mantra and the king was so impressed. He said, where did you hear this from? So Govardhan Acharya said that there is one saint just the outskirts of our kingdom. He lives living in a thatched roof. So he said, I would like to meet him. So he would not like to meet you. You'll have to go in disguise. So this king was willing to go in disguise. So he dressed up like a mendicant, beggar. And he went to Jayadeva Goswami. He offered his obeisances. So immediately Jayadeva Goswami could recognize him. He said, "Who are you?" So he said, now when he said, "Who are you?" Now the king was a pious man and this was a saint poet and he could not lie. It's very difficult to lie, isn't it? If someone saintly asks you that, you know, you can't hide. Your heart becomes open. No? So he said, "I am the king." So he said, "I would like you to come to my kingdom, stay in my palace, stay with me, become my guru." So Jayadeva Goswami immediately responded, "To associate with a materialistic person like you, king, he is like willingly taking poison. What to speak about staying with you in your palace? I would not even stay in your kingdom. I am just walking out from here and I am leaving this place and going to Jagannath Puri." See, now this was a big insult to the king, one sense. Because the king was also a devotee, he was not hurt. He rather felt very grateful. So immediately said, "Please, don't do that. Your footprints are decorating my kingdom. Please don't leave. I will not disturb you. I will never come to meet you. But there is a nice place across River Ganges. I'll build a cottage for you. You can stay there. And I will not come to disturb. I will never ever see you again." Now this only shows about the greatness of the king. Otherwise, a materialistic person, really, if he is insulted, he could have just ignored, or he could have just walked away, or he would have kept some revengeful feelings, or he could have even punished if he wanted. How can you insult me? I'm the king. But this is what was the greatness, and Jayadeva Goswami could also recognize his greatness. So he immediately said, "I was just testing you. I know you are a devotee. So you can come any time and meet me. You can get inspiration and you can be there with me anytime." So this way the king then built a cottage across Ganges and he was staying there, Jayadeva Goswami. And he and his wife, they would worship. Her name was Padmavati. This place was famous for champa flowers across the Ganges, which is there in Navadvip. This place is still there. So Jayadeva Goswami would worship Radha Madhava with a lot of devotion. He would decorate the flower with the deities with the champa flowers. And one day something very amazing happened. Amazing thing happened. He and his wife saw something very amazing. Radha Madhava, suddenly they merged and Gauranga Mahaprabhu revealed to them in his golden form, long arms, hair long, black, beautiful lotus eyes. So they, when they saw that beautiful form, naturally in their heart that feelings came and they surrendered their life. And that time he said, "Now you should go to Jagannath Puri. You already told once." He had told the king that, "I would leave and go to Jagannath Puri. You already have said. So you should go to Jagannath Puri." They were shocked. Because they saw the beautiful form. And not only that, he said, "This is my abode. And very soon I am going to come here in this form. And I am going to establish Yuga Dharma. And I am going to distribute love of God by establishing congregational chanting." So they felt so sad. If this is your abode and you are going to come there, why should we leave? But he said, "You should leave because Jagannath is waiting for you." So Lord then disappeared. But then they were looking back at the abode. What offense did we commit? What sin did we commit that we had to leave this place? I'm sure we have done something wrong. So when they were lamenting with a regretful heart, there was a divine sound from the sky. He said, "Jayadeva Goswami, You should not regret. Jagannath is waiting for you. You go and serve Jagannath there. And after you leave this body, you will be eternally coming back and staying in Navadvip. Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he revealed him, he also gave him assurance, Jayadev Goswami, you go there. And later in my life, when I take sannyas, when I reside there in Jagannath Puri, I will be hearing your Gita Govinda. So that was an assurance for Jayadev. So Jayadev Goswami went to Jagannath Puri and he stayed there with his wife worshipping. So one day there was an amazing thing again happened. Jayadev Goswami would be deeply meditating. As I said, he was not like his consciousness when he was meditating deeply means he was visualizing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he would pen it down. So one time when he was meditating like this in Jagannath Puri in his cottage, he saw one pastime where Krishna was begging from Radha Rani to please forgive me. And now Radha Rani was upset and Krishna was trying to pacify her and she was refusing. Then finally Krishna, he said, please forgive me. And he wanted to, he put his head at the feet of Radha Rani. Now this he saw, but then his hand started trembling. But then how can I write this? His body was trembling. He was feeling that, no, if I write this, what about all the sages, they're worshipping Krishna? They would not like that Krishna is putting his head at the feet of Radha Rani. So he was not very sure. So he left his pen there and he told his wife, I am going to take bath in the ocean. So when I come back, I will take prasad. So Jayadev Goswami left home to the ocean to take bath. And within few minutes, Jayadev Goswami came back. But this time it was not Jayadev Goswami. It was Lord Jagannath disguised as Jayadev Goswami. He was exactly like Jayadev Goswami. His everything, maybe the wrinkle or the hair or the way he talks, the dress, what he was carrying, the way he was speaking. His wife obviously could not. But she was a little surprised that you were supposed to go for bath. How did you come so early? She said, no, on the way I remembered, you know, something. So I thought I'll come and finish it. So he wrote down, he means Lord. He, wherever it is left, he wrote down exactly like Jayadev Goswami's handwriting. He finished that how Radha was, you know, how Krishna's head was at the feet of Radha Rani. And she served him prasad. Prasad was there thinking it is her husband. He accepted prasad, he took prasad and he left. After some times, Jayadev Goswami came wet. So what happened? How came he came so early? So he said, why are you asking me that I came early? But then you just now you came, you went, but again you came. He said, what are you talking about? He said, now serve me prasad. So well, you already had prasad. So he was a little confused. So there's something wrong. He went and checked the book where he was writing. He was shocked to see where he had left it. It was complete. All the verses were complete. Exactly what he was thinking to write, which he didn't write, the Lord had finished it. So he immediately understood that it was Lord Jagannath. He was in ecstasy. He started crying and telling wife, you are so fortunate. I am so unfortunate. I could not see him, but you could see him. You could serve him and he accepted your prasad. I mean, he accepted it. How great you are. So this is one such episode in Jayadev Goswami's life, how the Lord was, how much he loved him, was in direct relationship with him. But then there is, of course, we read all this, we hear about their lifestyle is also to get inspiration, that what type of qualities they had. So there is one such event happened in Jayadev Goswami's life. It's very inspiring for all of us, sadhakas. So one day Jayadev Goswami could see that there is a festival coming up. So he wanted to celebrate that festival. But he didn't have any money. He was a poor Brahmin. So he decided that let me go to some another village. Maybe I can recite some mantra, chant some poetry and raise some funds. So he did that. And after doing that, he was on the way back to his house. So he was coming. That time there were some robbers, thieves, dacoits. They caught hold of him. They took away all his money. Then they seriously injured him. They cut his hands. They caused serious injuries on his extremities, hands and legs, and pulled him and threw him in an isolated well in the middle of a field. No man's area. No one would go there. Just for him to die. Now Jayadev Goswami is a devotee. He has full faith that whatever happens is by the will of Lord. And here he is in the pit. There is nothing. For 3 days he was there without food, water, what to speak about sleeping. What would a devotee do in that state? He was just seeking mercy of the Lord. He was chanting. He was chanting Lord's names loudly. By the will of Lord, of course, Paramatma is there in everyone's heart. There was a king that time, after three days he was in the well. A king was on expedition hunting. So the Paramatma drew the king to come to that no man area. It had to happen. So when he came, he saw there is someone there crying out loudly, screaming for the Lord. Lord's name he was chanting. So he pulled him out. He saw his injuries. He took him to the palace. He and his queen, they nursed him. They brought him back to healthy state. And after that, when he started speaking, when a saintly person starts speaking, people who are very pure, obviously they will realize. So they immediately understood that he is not an ordinary person. They surrendered their life. So he became a pandit for the whole kingdom. So the one which started as a crisis in his life, it turned out to be a benediction. And he started propagating Krishna consciousness all over the kingdom because now he has recognized. So one day it so happened, the same robbers and thieves who came to the kingdom to check the kingdom. Obviously, the intention was to steal, but they came disguised as Vaishnavas. They came wearing tilak, kanti mala, kurta, dhoti, maybe chanting beads. Vaishnavas. Now, who came to receive them when they came to this kingdom? Jayadev Goswami. Now, Jayadev Goswami saw them, they saw him, and both recognized each other. But didn't say anything. Jayadev Goswami behaved in such a way, no animosity. He gave them such a grand welcome because they are saints. He knows they are not saints. They have evil things in their heart. He invited them on behalf of the king. He gave them accommodation. He arranged for a feast for them. Now see the nature of evil-minded person. They can't believe this because they knew that he has recognized us. So they said he is up to something. He is going to trap us and he is going to punish us. This is how, like Prabhupada says, that what type of a consciousness we have, that is what we see in others. Prabhupada gives this analogy. If you wear rose-colored glass, you see everything rose. If you wear yellow-colored glass, you see everything yellow. If you have clear glass, then you see everything as it is. So those who have love in their heart, they see that everyone has something very loving. Everyone is loving. But if you have envy in our heart, naturally we see that others are envious of us. So whatever is there in our consciousness, we see. It is not that other people have that problem. So Jayadeva Goswami didn't have anything. He was just seeing, looking out for that inclination, whether they have some for service. This is what he said about a preacher. This is how a preacher acts. Preacher is always looking out for some spark in anyone, you know. Even if he's externally a sinful person, if he has some spark of, you know, inclination to serve, and he just fans that spark, fans, and that spark becomes a fire, and that fire destroys all his misconceptions and all the illusory understandings. This is how a person does. So Jayadeva Goswami was very nice to him then. But they didn't trust him, because there in the heart there was no trust for him, because they themselves were cheaters. So they said, no, we can't stay here now. We are going. So Jayadeva Goswami was surprised. I have arranged for a feast. But still Jayadeva Goswami went to the king. He said, these saintly peoples have come. He didn't tell them anything about the truth. He didn't reveal to the king anything. So they are going now, so we have to reward them. So he gave them wealth, some gift. And not only that, the king arranged for a royal escort for these Vaishnavas. So these so-called Vaishnavas with evil mind in disguise, they were being escorted. And at one point where the soldiers were about to leave them, see them off. Now look at this. They still had evil mind against Jayadeva Goswami. So they said, now we want to tell you something about him. These people are telling the soldiers. Actually, we all were working together under one king one time. Now this is a lie. So it so happened that this man, Jayadeva Goswami, was an evil man. And the king knew about it. So he told us that you should give him capital punishment. So what we did is, because he was an evil man, so we cut his hands and legs and threw him inside a well. So you please tell your king, please watch out for this man. This is what they spoke to the soldiers, out of envy, out of hatred, some, you know, feeling of, in spite of all this hospitality, but they could not. So when they said like this, something very amazing thing happened. It is said that Mother Earth can take burden of everything. It can take burden of the mountains, the Pacific Ocean, and all these things that Earth is taking burden. But she can't tolerate the burden of an untruthful person, someone who is speaking lies. So as soon as these so-called Vaishnavas, they spoke like this, the earth opened and they just went inside and disappeared. And the soldiers were shocked. Where have they gone? Obviously they didn't know what to do. They were gone, out. So they came back and told the king. The king was shocked. So immediately he thought, there is something which we don't know. So they called Jayadeva Goswami. Then Jayadeva Goswami had to speak the truth. He said, say, it's like this. But what is there, you know? I have forgiven them. Now this quality of forgiveness is not an easy thing. Bhagavad Gita, it says that of all the qualities of Brahmana, as the most prominent quality is forgiveness. Even Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that forgiveness is like an ornament on the character of a Vaishnava. So Jayadeva Goswami was that type of a Goswami, who was very pure, and he had this forgiveness nature. And there are several other different leelas, but his writings are so esoteric and very confidential that only people who are very pure can relish it. So this is what he wrote, Gita Govind, which is very famous. And the last 24 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, used to hear this from Ramanand Rai and Swarup Damodar, and used to feel the separation, the love in separation for Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So today happens to be the disappearance day of Jayadev Goswami. So when we hear this, we should know that when we talk about these past times of cowherd boys and Krishna, the loving, and it is not something cheap. To have access to this, we should be qualified. And the qualification comes through proper sadhana under proper guidance. So in Bhagavad Gita, there is one verse which says, Janma Karma, a very popular verse, you know, the Lord's birth and activities. If anyone understands, it says, no, it understands, he will come back to me. So one sense, we have understood, no? Lord's appearance, how he appears to Devaki and Vasudev, and his activities are not transcendental. I have understood. So once this question was asked to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, someone was sitting close and he was saying, Maharaj, now I have understood his Janma and Karma. What does it understand means what? So you want to know what he said? What does understand mean? Understand means to stand under the feet of your spiritual master. Understand. So it is not that understand. You know that, you know, like Prabhupada. How much you try to understand, Prabhupada becomes, you know, the more and more great become. How is Prabhupada like this? So similarly, all these things we feel we have understood, but it is beyond our understanding. It is unlimited. When Brahma can't understand what to speak about. Brahma is, you know, what a Brahma, four heads, what intelligence. But he can get bewildered. So, in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, these cowherd boys, they're only expressing their love, as it is said here in this verse number 20. Once some of the cowherd boys, Sri Dhama, the very close friend of Rama and Krishna, along with Subala, Stoka Krishna and others, lovingly spoke the following words. The word is premni dham, premni, with love. So there is no selfish interest, there is no personal agenda. As Devamrita Swami Maharaj was saying, otherwise we have some deficiency, so there is a purpose for what we do. Then you can't be the enjoyer, you can't enjoy. Real enjoyment is when you are full, there is nothing, just love. So you're feeling the love, you're expressing the love. So there is a place like that, and that is the spiritual world. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are getting an understanding that these activities are there between the cowherd boys, what to speak about the gopis, and what to speak about Nanda Maharaj. And so here, of course, it's about the trees and birds and bees. And so there is a place like that, and that is spiritual world. It is not that you have to leave this body to experience that. You can experience living in this body, provided you are qualified. So the qualification comes through Prabhupada's mercy, what instructions he has given us. If we follow, slowly you will experience that joy. Then obviously then there is no problem with dealing with each other. It will be only love. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. श्रीमद् भागवत पुराण की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय देव गोस्वामी डिसअपीयरेंस डे महामहोत्सव की थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रभु हरे कृष्ण